produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hi, sweet sisters. Welcome to the Mommy Meltdown. My name is Dorothy Gates, and I am your humbled host this cold, freezing winter Friday in February. I don't know what the weather's like where you are, but let me tell you, this Mississippi girl is freezing. We're not really well adapted to the changes of the weather when it gets really cold. We tend to like the warmer weather here in Mississippi, but the thoughts of, you know, how seasons of life tend to come and go, just like the seasons and the weather come and go. It got me to thinking about how the seasons of our goals, the seasons of our dreams, and the seasons of our life's purpose can be challenged at times in our life. And just like the winter months come in and tend to really challenge your discipline, I mean that because it's something about the winter months that seems to bring on a just a challenging and a very disciplined lifestyle, because it's very easy to become so lazy in the winter months. You just want to stay in and recluse and just cover up on the couch and watch TV. And listen, there's nothing wrong with the season of rest. I totally believe that God gave us the winter months so that we could just enjoy the time of rest and the time of being confined as family. But if we're not careful, those winter months can become a very challenging time to our goals, our dreams, of the heavenly visions that God has given us, the callings that we've had, and here we are, the 1st of January with all these new goals and pushing things forward. And it's a hard time of the year to do that because we're in the winter months, the cold time, the trying time where a lot of times some people are snowed in or the road conditions are not good. You've got sleet and ice. And so all of these challenges come up and they arise. And so your dreams and your goals and your purposes, sometimes they are put on the back burner or they're put on pause because it's a very trying time to fulfill the things you set off to do. And sometimes these goals are not goals that were even established in January. Maybe they're goals, lifetime goals or a five-year plan or something that you've been working and you've been achieving and you've been doing for months and months and months. And all of a sudden, here come the winter months, and the winter months have seemed to put it to a halt. And so just like that season of winter, I truly believe there's a season in our dreams and our goals and our visions that also hit a halt. And for whatever reason, we could become discouraged or we could become distracted. We could get detoured from what we set out to do because of these seasons that we have in our life. And today, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about when we become distracted from our goals, our dreams, and our life's purpose. And we may have discussed this before, but I'm taking a totally different twist to it. We're looking at the book Distracted that I wrote back in 2018. And we've been applying the book Distracted to our motherhood journey. And listen, as a mother, I have said this over and over and over. There is no other word better to describe a mother than distracted. We are constantly pulling and tugging and fighting for focus because we are being hit with distractions everywhere. And each distraction is important in its own way, but sometimes it pulls us away from the purpose we had for the day. And so we've talked about how a distraction is nothing more than something that's good, but has pulled us away from our purpose, pulled us away from our focus, pulled us away from our intentions. So good things can be distractions when they're taking us away from the important things. When we get so busy doing the good things, we begin to neglect the important things. And so today I want to talk about our goals, our dreams, and our purposes. You see, as a mother, it's so important that we have those goals. Whether those goals are for our children, those goals are for our family, the goals for our home, the goal is for our marriage, the goal is for us personally, spiritual goals, goals that apply to our ministry or our calling or maybe for our business. Listen, women, it's so important to have those goals. Don't allow motherhood to rob you from your dreams. God has set dreams and desires in your heart for a purpose because He wants you to go and do a great work. So we've got to hold on and guard those dreams. We've got to protect the callings that God has given us. And seasons of life come in. Maybe it's a season of busyness. Maybe it's a season like a winter where it's just kind of doom and gloom in your life and you don't have the drive to go and continue on with your goal anymore. Maybe it's a season of just sorrow, maybe some sorrow and brokenheartedness, or season of other opportunities have come in your life. So whatever season you're in right now, the first thing you need to do is really just be aware that seasons come into your life. And if you're not careful, some of those seasons will distract you away from your goals, your dreams, those heavenly dreams, those God-sized dreams. And then what that does is take you away from your purpose. Because when God puts that desire in your heart, He's preparing you for the purpose He has. And Psalms 37, verse 4, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I truly believe that God places that desire in your heart. And like a seed begins to allow that desire to grow and grow and grow until it just, the desire becomes a dream. That dream becomes a goal. That goal becomes a mission in your life to accomplish, because God has designed you for a very unique and special purpose. So what do we do? What do we do when we've hit this season of life, kind of like winter, where it kind of puts a halt on everything, and you have seen great progress, you've been moving forward, you've been so dedicated and so disciplined to this goal that all of a sudden now you just feel like you've hit a brick wall. You're in a season of life that doesn't allow you to give the attention to the goal that you desired. Or maybe you just have kind of got burned out. You're having to work harder than you thought you were going to have to work. Maybe it's taken longer than you ever expected. Perhaps it's costing you more money than you had budgeted, and it's bringing frustration into your life. Well, I truly believe the first thing you need to do is reclaim the vision that God has given you. Go back to God and make sure that this calling was from God. Make sure that the desire you have set out for, the desire you set out to accomplish was truly from the Lord. So go back to Him and make sure that you are following Him and reclaim it. Reclaim that desire that God has given you, the vision, and reclaim His promises, reclaim His power, that He is giving you the might and the strength to accomplish the purpose He has for you. So go back and reclaim the vision, reclaim it. After you have reclaimed it, maybe you need to go back and adjust some of your thought process or your planning. But once you've reclaimed that, then go back and renew your goal. Go back and think, okay, God, I've got a little distracted here. For whatever reason, Lord, I'm renewing this goal to you. I'm laying it back at your feet. And Lord, maybe I got sidetracked with my own plan. Maybe I began to make it more about me instead of you. But Lord, I'm reclaiming it. I'm refocusing, and I'm going to, Lord, allow you to renew the vision in my heart with that fresh oil, God, that only you can send down from heaven. Lord, I ask you to reanoint this desire, reanoint this purpose, Lord, that you have called me to do. So go back and renew your goal with the Lord. Allow Him to reanoint the dream with His power and His purpose. So you're going to reclaim the vision, reclaim the goal, reclaim God's promises that He will never leave you nor forsake you. What He has set out for you to do, He will accomplish. But sometimes we just have to reclaim that promise, don't we? All right, so then you're going to renew your goal. Make it fresh. Make it exciting. Sometimes when we're down that road and we've been focusing on a goal, a dream, I mean, it almost becomes like we're enslaved to it, and it has now bound us with chains, and we don't enjoy it anymore. We have no longer found the joy of the Lord in this situation, and that's why it's so important that we have to renew our spirit. We have to go in and get that right spirit from the Lord. So if He's called you to do something, you go back and you renew that calling to give you that fresh anointing from the Lord so you can go and do what He's called you to do. Not only do you need to reclaim the vision, claim His promises, not only do you need to renew your goal and allow Him to reanoint you with His power, you need to go back and reconnect to it. You hear what I'm saying? You need to reconnect. How do you reconnect? You reconnect back with that goal, thinking about the why. Why am I doing this? Why? Am I doing this to build a name for myself? Am I doing this to gain popularity, to gain followers? Or am I doing this for the glory of the Lord? Am I doing this to further the kingdom of God? Am I doing this so people may see the mighty works of the Lord? Because if I'm doing it for any other reason, then it's in vain. So go back and reconnect to that vision. Reconnect to your why. Why are you doing this? What is your why? Listen, that's for anything. That's for raising our children. Why? Why are we raising our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Why are we teaching them to obey? Why are we working on Bible verses and discipline and training? Why are we doing all this? So we can look like a good mom? Because if that's all we're doing it for, it's pointless. It's wasted. It's in vain. But if we're doing it for the glory of the Lord, those are works and deeds that will never die. Reconnect to your goal. Reconnect to your dream. Reconnect to your calling. Go back and think. The moment that God placed that desire in your heart and you knew it was for Him, it was from Him. It was that God-sized dream that you knew without Him it was impossible. Connect to that moment where you were so excited that God was calling you to do it. Connect, reconnect to it and go back and think about your why. Why? Why was God calling you to do this? Why are you feeling the need to do it? Why are you putting so much time and energy and money into this desire? Was it because God called you to do it? Or was it because you just thought it was a fun thing to do at the time? So reconnect to it. The next thing I want to say is recommit. After you have reclaimed the vision and you have claimed His promises, you've reclaimed them. After you have renewed yourself to that goal and you've had that fresh anointing and that fresh vision again, and then you've gone back and you've reconnected yourself to that vision. You've allowed God to really make the why clear to you, why you are doing this for Him. And you have reconnected yourself to a plan and the purpose, then I want you to go and recommit yourself. When you first started off with this calling, you ran like the roadrunner on Bugs Bunny, didn't you? I mean, nothing could stop you. You had that tunnel vision, where all you saw was straight ahead. You didn't see anything else. You were just running. Nothing could stop you, slow you down, or distract you. But somewhere on your race, you got a little tired. And you've hit a season. You've hit a season now in your life where you're tired, you're weary, you need the rest, and you don't know why you're even in it anymore. All right, so that's when you need to recommit. Go back and recommit. Listen, that's with anything in life. That's with your marriage. You recommit yourself all the time into your marriage. You recommit yourself to your children. You recommit to healthy living, especially right after the holidays. You have to recommit yourself to that. You recommit, recommit, recommit. Go back and find that discipline. Go back and find that desire. Go back and find You go back and find the strength, the power of the Lord that enabled you to start it. He will also enable you to finish it. So you go back and find the willpower to continue on. Recommit to your calling. When you've done these things, ladies, you will begin to see that you have recharged yourself. You've recharged yourself back to your goals, back to those dreams, back to those visions. You get this recharge to go and do. And listen, there's nothing wrong with a season where you hit a season and you fall for a moment. But Proverbs 24:16 says, listen now, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up. So we've got to remember that no matter what season of life we're in, we may fall, we may stumble, we may turn around, we may even walk backwards for a little while. We're not focusing on that. We're focusing on the fact that we fall. What do we do when we fall up? We rise up. Rise up. So no matter what discouragement you have hit, no matter what obstacle, no matter what delay, no matter what detour has come in your path, you say, okay, it's okay. I'm going to stop. I'm going to recharge. I'm going to rise up. And then I'm going to what? I'm going to reclaim that vision. I'm going to reclaim his promises. I'm going to renew myself in that goal. I'm going to renew, have a fresh anointing in the Lord. Allow him to renew that vision. I'm going to reconnect myself to that vision. Reconnect myself to the why, to the calling. And then I'm going to recommit myself. Recommit myself to it. And then we find ourselves recharged and ready to rise up. Because the Bible says, if just man falleth seven times. It doesn't say a just man never falls. It doesn't say a just man never quits. A just man never has a moment and takes a break or gets wearied or discouraged. No, it just says a just man falleth seven times. That's okay. But this is what determines the difference between a wicked man and a just man. A just man riseth up. The Bible says, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. It doesn't say the wicked man shall fall into evil. The wicked man shall fall into wickedness. It says the wicked man shall fall into mischief. He falls down and he doesn't get up. And in that moment of being down and discouraged, he allows himself to wallow in that discouragement and in that defeat and in those delays and in those detours. Then he finds himself in mischief. And that mischief destroys him. Destroys that calling. Destroys that heavenly vision. Destroys that God-sized dream. Ladies, God has put a desire in your heart. And even right now while we're talking about it, you know what that desire is. Maybe God has called you to do something and maybe you just got started with it. You were really pushing forward and then the pandemic hit. And the pandemic caused you to have to halt what you were in the progress of doing, and everything you had been working so hard for has now just fallen to the wayside, and you have found those moments of discouragement. Listen, it's okay. We were all there. 2020 took all of us by surprise. The pandemic was not nice to anyone. But now it's time for us to shake off the dust. Shake off the weariness, shake off the depression from 2020 and rise up to 2021. Rise up to our callings. Rise up to those God-sized dreams. Rise up to the heavenly vision that God has for us. God wants to use you. He placed that desire in your heart, and you know the one I'm talking about because it's burning in your mind right now. So we have to forget. We have to forget what was behind us. We have to push forward. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, it says, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Why do you think he said run with patience? The race that is so that is set before us. Why do you think God said run with patience? That's kind of a key word there. Run with patience. Because it takes patience to fulfill the desires that God has put in our heart. Listen, it takes time. Seeing your dreams come into fruition doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. And here's the key. It happens in God's time. Don't give up. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God has a race for you to run, and He wants you to run it with patience. He wants you to set out to go and accomplish the thing He has called you to do. That thing that keeps you up at night, the thing that burns on your heart, the thing that you just wished you could do so bad. Well, God has put that vision in your heart because He wants you to do it. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Philippians 3:13 through 14 says, brethren, or in your cases, sisters, sweet sisters, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God has a calling for you. It's the high calling of God, and He wants you to press forward with everything you've got. He wants you to reach for it. He wants you to go and to do it. But you got to think about you got to forget about what's holding you back and push you forth. Now listen, temptations are going to come your way. The temptation to quit. The temptation that it's not worth it. The temptation that it's too expensive. The temptation that it takes too much time. It's too hard. The temptations will be there. But you cannot give in to temptation. Don't allow temptation to keep you from your goal. It will lie to you and detour you. It will tell you it's not worth it. It'll delay your journey and discourage you. But you just keep on going. Take it one day at a time and one step at a time. And ladies, I want to leave you with one verse before we close today. I want you to remember that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You can bear it, ladies. Whatever is stopping you, hindering you, distracting you from fulfilling your calling, God says, I've already made a way. Today, will you trust Him? Today, will you claim His promises and recharge yourself to your goals, your dreams, your life's purpose? I love you, ladies, and I'll see you next time on The Mommy Meltdown.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are now tuning in to the What Now God radio show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. And as usual, we're going to start off with Romans chapter 12, 1 through 8. And it goes like this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. And let the church say amen.
Welcome to this month's segment of the What Now God radio show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. I'm author of the book, My Life Was Falling Apart. Oh, but it was God putting me back together, as well as my newest release, Mind Your Business Lady, the Women Entrepreneur's Complete Guide to Doing What You Love and Getting Paid to Do It. Welcome, welcome. Hello, February. We are in our first week of February. And I don't know about you guys, but I am feeling refreshed. I'm feeling renewed. I am feeling rejuvenated. All right. 2020 and the beginning of 2021 has definitely been one hell of a year. Yes, I said it, one hell of a year. Okay. We have went through so much, but guess what? We survived. We are here. So again, welcome to the What Now God radio show. I thank you so much for tuning in. It is the first Friday of the month, which is when you can catch new segments of the What Now God radio show. Look out for new topics. Look out for new guests as we tackle the question, what now, God? What do we do now in such a time as this? What do we do now as Christian brothers and sisters to help, to uplift, to support, to encourage, to inspire and motivate each other so that we can help to make this world a better place, okay? One prayer, one person at a time. So again, thank you so much. Today we're going to discuss the topic, how do you heal? How do you heal? All right. We have been through, like I said, one hell of a 2020. At the beginning of the year, we dealt with the pandemic. We're still dealing with COVID-19. We're still suffering. It's still, you know, devastating our country, devastating the world. We dealt with Black lives being taken by hired police officers who were hired to serve and protect. We have been brutalized. We have had to watch over and over deaths, starting with George Floyd, which actually wasn't the start because we know it's been going on for a long time, but something that we all had to witness on television or on social media, for those of you who actually saw it. And it has been devastating. 2020 has been a year of loss. 2020 has been a year of sorrow. 2020 has been a year that a lot of us may want to just forget, that has hurt us, that has left us feeling broken, that has left us feeling like, you know, there's no end in sight to it, have left us probably asking, why, God, why? So today we're going to discuss the topic, how do we heal? All right. And maybe you have went through something else, in 2020. Maybe it wasn't just COVID and all the losses and the deaths and the sicknesses that we've experienced, not just as a country, but as families, right? Maybe you've went through other things besides having to, be on lookout or being aware of everything that was going on with Black Lives Matter, having to stand up as African American men and women to say enough is enough, right? Maybe there's personal issues that you've dealt with, relationship issues, health issues that, added on to the pain, added on to the sorrow. So we're going to discuss, how do we heal from these things? How do we move from the pain, get back to our purpose, and start prospering, okay, even in a pandemic, and start having our prayers answered, right? How do we heal? How do we feel better? How do we get better in the midst of everything that has happened in 2020, in the midst of a horrible aftermath of our 2020 election, where, we had domestic terrorism, where we watched domestic terrorists actually storm our Capitol, right? And I'm not going to get all into politics, but if you're like me, that was very emotional. That was very heartbreaking to me and devastating to see that in our country that we're still dealing with such division, such hate, such racism, right? And such panic during the pandemic and such confusion during the rollout of the vaccine, during the rollout of testing and treatment, and just basically trying to stay safe and alive. And before we go into, I'm going to share three tips that will help you heal, that will help you heal no matter what you're going through. But before we get into that, I just want to say God bless every single one who's listening, who has been sick with COVID, with coronavirus, who has loved ones who are sick or hospitalized, or maybe you were hospitalized, and especially for those who have lost loved ones due to the coronavirus or just any loss in general, because I know it's hard, okay? I know it's hard. We're all in this together, and we're all going to heal, and we're all going to get better together, God willing, and I pray to God that that we're coming out of this. We are coming out of this. God says to pray, to turn from our wicked ways, to repent, and he will hear from us in heaven and heal our land. So I invite you and I implore you to keep on praying, okay? Even if you don't see immediate results, even if it looks like it's just so dark and there's no light at the end of the tunnel, know that it is darkest before dawn and that the light is still here. The light that is our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is still here. Jesus saves and God is still in control. So let's just keep going. We're going to, again, the topic for today is, how do we heal? And the key word here is we, all right? Because we're all in this together. The sun shines on good and bad alike. The rain pours on good and bad alike as well, right? So we need to be mindful that we are in this together. And whether we agree, whether we disagree, or we agree to disagree about anything, whether it's who you voted for in the 2020 election, whether it's how to best handle the pandemic, whether it's what should we be on a shutdown or not? Whatever that is, I want you to know that we are all in this together. And if we heal, we'll heal together. But if we suffer, we're going to suffer together, right? So let's stop all the dividing, the division, the finger pointing, the blame game. And let's just do these three things. And if we do them, and we are an example to our loved ones, an example to our families, our friends, even the world, then I truly, truly believe that we can heal and we can change our situation for the better. So number one, the first thing that we must do if we want to heal, if we want to experience any type of healing, whether it's in this pandemic, whatever, we have to love, okay? We have to remember that the word says above all things, love, love God, love your neighbors as you love yourself. Okay. And then remember what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not self-seeking. It does not keep a record of wrongs. Love covers all, right? Love never fails. And let's be real. Sometimes it's hard to love. Sometimes it is hard to love. When you're down and out, when you feel like somebody has done you wrong for no reason, when you feel like life is just unfair, right? Sometimes it's hard to love. Sometimes it's hard to show that loving kindness to others, right? Sometimes it's hard even to show that loving kindness to ourselves. And that is something that we have to be reminded of constantly, right? God is love. And if we show the love that God continues to give us every single day, every single day he wakes you up with breath in your body. Every single day he wakes you up and clothes you and feeds you. Every single day he gives you a purpose. Every single day he says, keep going, daughter. Keep going, son. You are my child. I will never leave you or forsake you. Every time he answers your prayer, that is God showing love, that unconditional love, that love like no other. And if we can just be an example, if we can just take a little piece of that love that we receive from God and pass it on to others, then guess what? I promise you, the healing will begin. And then we cannot forget to love ourselves. Some of us, we're so hard on ourselves and we forget how to love ourselves. We forget about that self-love, right? We were talking about in my Facebook group, Sisters Women's Empowerment Network, which I am CEO and founder of, where I teach women entrepreneurs how to use their God-given gifts and talents to create wealth while serving others. We were talking about the love languages. And one of our members, she teaches on the 5 self-love languages. Okay, so how do you like to be loved? How do you like to show love to yourself? Do you need that quality time with yourself? Do you need to take some time out to take that bubble bath? Do you need to listen to your favorite music? Do you need to get out into nature and walk? What is it that you need to do to show yourself that loving kindness so that you'll be able to pass that on to others? Because sometimes it's so hard for us to give love to others because we've forgotten to give that same love to ourselves. All right. And if you're a giver, if you're a helper, if you're constantly looking out for others, sometimes it gets hard, right? Sometimes you can get bitter. But the antidote and the answer to that, to not getting bitter, to not growing weary while doing good, is to take the time out to love yourself. Okay. Take the time out. Maybe you need to go to your favorite ice cream shop and grab a scoop of ice cream, right? Maybe you need to watch a comedy movie to make you smile. All of these are parts of healing. And then when we learn to love ourselves, I promise you it is so easy to love others, because now that you've given that self-love to yourself and you know what you need to make you feel better, you can send that text message to someone else to say, hey, I'm just checking on you. How are you? You can pick up that phone and make that phone call to that person who may be shut in, who may be alone, quarantined during the pandemic, to say, just checking on you. You can pick up your computer and log on to Uber Eats and send someone a meal who may be suffering through coronavirus, right? You can send someone groceries through Instacart. There are so many things that we can do to show love to others. Sometimes it's just a word of encouragement to say, hey, you're going to make it. You can do it. God has not forgotten you. And sometimes it's just simple as remembering others in your prayers, right? There's so many ways that we can show love. So that's number one on how do we heal? How do we start to heal as a country, as a nation, as the world, as families, as individuals? How do we heal? You have to be willing to show love. And sometimes I get it. You're tapped out. You're frustrated. You're sad. You may be heartbroken, devastated even, okay? I get it. I have been there. Trust and believe, I have been there. There's been days when I said, God, why? Not just why me, but I'm done. You know, I've said it. I've written off people just to turn right around and pray for them. And then when I pray for them, God worked it out. Not only did God work it out, but he showed me where I went wrong and how to pray and love on people. You have to love people in spite of them, okay? You have to love people in spite of them. Sometimes we have high expectations of how people should be. And it's not to say that, people won't get on your nerves or people won't do something that you don't agree with that, like I said, makes it hard to love. But guess what? Love anyway. Love anyway. Love in spite of and love anyway. That is the first and number one step and answer to the question, how do we heal? All right. So let's move on to number two. And I hope that number one uplifted you. And I just want you to know that I love you, that God loves you. All right. God loves us in spite of us. So let's take a moment to find ways that we can show that love to others. Okay. Even the unlovable, even the seemingly unlovable. So number two, it goes hand in hand with number one. And this one, it's harder, right? And these steps that I'm sharing with you, they're not easy. Sometimes they take practice, and we know practice makes perfect. So some of these you'll have to practice. You might fail. You practice, you may do better. You practice, you may think you got it, and then you fall again and you have to remind yourself, right? But we're not going to give up. Healing is a process. So each one of these steps within the healing process, as we answer the question, how do we heal, is a process. So don't be hard on yourselves if you can't get it right away, okay? We're all growing and we're all in different steps of our growth process, okay? So number two is to forgive. Forgive. And I can speak on this all day because it's something that I have struggled with. I used to think forgiving meant I had to admit or I had to that I was admitting that what that other person did was okay. Knowing they were wrong, wrong is two left shoes, right? But I used to really think that if I forgive somebody, then that's letting them off the hook. Or if I forgive somebody, that means that what they did to me was okay. No, no, no. That is not the case. Forgiving is actually for you. Okay. Forgiving is releasing the hurt that the action caused you. Forgiving is releasing the need for revenge. All right. Because God says, vengeance is mine. It is mine to repay. When is the last time God told you a lie? I'll wait. Right. Because God does not lie. He cannot lie. So if God says, vengeance is mine, it is mine to repay, then best believe anyone who has wronged you, all right, whether it was yesterday, whether it was today, whether it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, okay, God is in control. God is going to repay them. It's not up to us to worry. It's not up to us to seek revenge. It's not up to us to harbor grudges. It's not up to us to harbor that pain, because when you don't forgive, that's what you're doing. You're holding on to pain. You're voluntarily holding on to pain that is hurting you. Sometimes the people that we need to forgive, the people who have wronged us, don't even know that they need to be forgiven. They don't even know that you're holding a grudge. They don't even know. And sometimes they don't even care if they do know, right? So they're not in pain. They're not suffering. Yet here you are. You're suffering. You're reliving that moment. You're reliving that issue. You're reliving what happened in the past or what they did to you. You're reliving it over and over. Every time you think about them, every time something reminds you of them, you're hurting over and over again. You can't let it go. And what happens when you're holding on to something so tight? When you're holding on to that pain so tight and your hands are clenched, your teeth are clenched, and you're holding stress. Stress is all in your body. Your hands are so tightly closed and holding on to that unforgiveness that you can't open your hands to receive the blessings that God is trying to give you, the blessing of forgiveness that is truly for you and not for the other person. So if you look at it like that, I really had to, you know, look at it in a different perspective to be able to forgive others, to be able to smile and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I'm not holding on to that pain. Thank you, God, that I'm not holding on to that offense, that hurt, as wrong as it was, as painful as it was, as hurtful as it was. Thank you, God, that I'm able to release it, that I'm able to say I forgive. And sometimes it doesn't mean, this is another thing that stops a lot of people from being able to forgive, is because we think we're supposed to forgive someone a hurt, forgive someone an offense, and then reconcile with them immediately. Sometimes the only reconciliation that's needed is saying, God, I forgive. I let that offense go. I let that unforgiveness go. Sometimes the only reconciliation that is needed is with your thoughts in your mind about how you're thinking about that person in that situation. Forgive and let go. Let go and let God. Now, some relationships, they're worth salvaging. Some relationships, God is working even now to restore. And then let's flip it. While we're talking about forgiveness and forgiving others, we may be the ones who need to be forgiven, right? We're no saints. Nobody is perfect. We have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory, right? So we have to remember that sometimes that forgiveness, we're the ones who need it. God, forgive me for anything I've said or done that is not pleasing to you, for any way that I've hurt anybody. Forgive me, right? I say that in a prayer every single day, because sometimes we offend others, we hurt others, and we may not be aware. Sometimes we may do it on purpose because we're hurting, right? Hurt people hurt people. So we have to learn to forgive. Forgive others and forgive ourselves. And when we do that, we're way on the road of healing, okay? So that's number two in how do we heal. Number one was to love. Number two is to forgive. And number three is we have to learn to act and not react. We have to learn to act and not react. That means we're going to be proactive in our actions, and our actions are going to be positive. Our actions are going to be results driven. Our actions are going to be wrapped in love, wrapped in forgiveness. We're not going to allow ourselves to react to every single word that's said to us that may hurt us or offend us. We're not going to allow ourselves to react to every trick of the enemy. The devil is working. Him and his minions are out here. They're trying to get your attention, get my attention. They're trying to divide. The devil comes for what? To steal, kill, and destroy, right? He's trying to steal your blessings. He's trying to kill your dreams. He's trying to destroy your destiny. And how does he do that? He does things, he sends situations, people, that causes us to react. So instead of acting as God-fearing, loving women and men of God, children of God, we just react. Someone throws something at us, we immediately react and throw it back. Someone steps on our toes, we step on their toes, but a little bit harder, right? We cannot afford to constantly react to everything that's going on around us, everything that's going on in this world, everything that you see on the media, you know, everything that you hear. We cannot afford to keep reacting. We have to learn to be proactive and to take positive action so that we can see change, whatever that positive action may be, right? Being leaders instead of followers, loving on each other instead of hating each other, forgiving even the unforgivable, right? And once we do all of those three things, once we learn to love, once we learn to forgive, once we learn to not react to every negative thing that comes our way, I promise you that healing will take place. And it's a beautiful thing. And Oh my God, I can't believe our time is up right now, but I just want to say God bless you all. Thank you so much for continuing to tune in to the What Now God radio show. We're on first Fridays of every month. My name is Cheryl Woods. I am your host, and I just appreciate you and love you so much. God bless you, and I'll see you next time.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way radio channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hey, 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 my Made to Shine community. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the first show for 2021. So I'm going to start off saying Happy New Year to everyone, and I pray all is well. Just want to say that I am so excited to be here today with you all with a very special guest. As we come into 2021, we have some words that are just going to offer some encouragement to you, enlighten you, and just cause you to move forward with Christ. As a reminder of the show, we want you to know that we use the term made to shine. That is our motto, if you will, from Matthew 5, 14 and 16 through 16, which tells us that you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So as I continue with the movement of Made to Shine and how Made to Shine inspires, I'm continuing with shining the light on some women who are a part of my life or whose path I've crossed, who are doing just that. They are shining the light on the things that God is blessing them with, giving us testimony, giving us words of encouragement. And this year is not going to be any different. Today, I have a very special guest with me, and her name is Kristen Washington.
Now,
Kristen is not just any special guest. She's like my sister when my sister spoke on here last summer. This is family. So this hits a little differently when you have your family on here with you, supporting you and wanting to offer a word to those that are listening to you. But let me tell you a little bit about Kristen before she actually comes in and offers us some words to help push us into 2021 as we're starting this new year. Kristen is a chief home officer who has devoted her life to bringing up her children with sole intention and authenticity. Excuse me. She has 5 beautiful children, 4 bulls, and I know they love their mama, and 1 princess. That's her baby. She is also a micro influencer who shares her real life experiences and faith with women and inspires them to live life with grace. As she is on her path of self-exploration, she works diligently on building her brand, Heavenly Involved. This encourages women, encourages moms that our loads may be heavy, but we are doing God's heavenly work. Kristen is a self-declared social introvert who loves to dance and bake. She is a worshiper of Jesus, loves all things blue, and she is your new mommy and your new sister friend. So again, everyone, welcome, 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 Miss Kristen Washington to our community. Go ahead, Kristen. How are you today,
hey,
lady?
Hey, girl. Hey, cousin. How are you doing? I kind of spoke too soon when you were reading
Girl, no problem. Just jump right on in. No problem. Gosh, where do we start, guys? It's just like, where do you start? You know, she's going to have something good for us today, y'all. I do believe that. Kristen, what do you want to share? Is there anything else that you would like to tell the audience about yourself? Or could you just elaborate a little bit more on what it means to be a micro influencer and mom blogger for you?
Okay, well, like you said, it's self-proclaimed title. I'm in the beginning stages of being an influencer. Mm-hmm. And I think we all are influencers in our lives. You know, we all have something to give. But mommying is my ministry. I look at it as a ministry. Like you said, I've dedicated my life to raising a family. And, it's a job in itself, just like any other job. And with that comes a lot of, you have to give yourself a little bit more grace, when you're rearing children. I mean, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. So I speak about that, and I speak about, my faith journey, my faith walk with God. I like to have fun. Like you said, I love to dance. So if you see me, making a TikTok or a reel, you might see me, doing a little dance, but, I like to have fun. And, mm-hmm. and that's just part of who I am. So it's basically just, just sharing my life experiences, faith, family, how to balance all of that and still be your own, still be your own self.
That is awesome. That is something awesome because we as women, we do need to find that balance. So many of us struggle with that, even with myself, and I have teenagers. So you're still trying to find that balance of being mom and allowing them to kind of grow and become in their own person.
Right.
And not feel like you're hovering over them, but still knowing that regardless of the stages that they're going through, you'll still be mom to them and you're still needed. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, at least for me, you think when they become teenagers and their influence sometimes becomes more of those that are outside of the family home or the family dynamic. And I don't want that. I still want to have that mom influence on them, that what I'm pouring into them is something that'll stand out more versus what they may be hearing from their peers or someone else. So yes, we all need that grace. And that's something I'm having to learn, to extend a little bit more grace to myself.
Right.
When things don't go as planned. Mm-hmm. And, you know, knowing that you messed up, and you know, you have those days when the days are a little bit more frustrating than others, and you tend to be a little snappy at people, and you try not to be, but you know, it comes off that way. So for me, you know, they remind me, what's wrong with you? You know, you're doing,
you know, those kids, they know when something's wrong with mama. Yeah. So they know how to pull back whatever it is that they're doing and try to be like, hey.
But I feel, you know, then I take it upon myself. I say, okay, let me go back and go to them and say, guys, I apologize. I didn't mean to snap. You know, it was just, you know, a rough day here, or this is what's going on. So please forgive me. So I'm working on that part of it, you know, letting them know that, yeah, you may mess up, but it's okay to come back and apologize for the mishaps.
Right.
And again, extend that grace to yourself, because not every day is going to be perfect.
Right.
So, and even with us in this community, Made to Shine, I try to have people on that will just encourage us through the walk. Mm-hmm. The walk is not easy a lot of times, because you are bombarded with life. You're bombarded with the things outside of your home, and not everybody is as forgiving, and there's expectations that sometimes you know you can't meet, but they still expect it.
Right.
And Made to Shine, you're having to look at yourself as the way God created you. Man didn't create us, God did. So I need to make sure that how I'm presenting myself and how I'm trying to grow is how he wants me to grow, and me not so much living up to what everybody else think I should be doing.
Right.
So that is where we are with this. And in 2021, I want to be a lot better in that area as well. But I am grateful that you are my first guest for the 2021 year. So I am very excited for the message that you have to share with us. So, you know, if you're ready, we're ready to listen.
Well, I'm glad that you spoke on some of those things about giving yourself grace. And I wanted to speak on believing in God. And who do you believe that you are in him? And a lot of times we define ourselves, we're defining ourselves every day. As part of, you know, it's the everyday thing, we are constantly telling ourselves something about ourselves. A lot of times we go out and we look at things that are on around us. We have lots of things that are, you know, pulling us to think things about ourselves. You have the Enneagrams, you know, you have the personality test, and then you have like the social media. You know, we all are guilty of playing those name tests on social media, right? And you pop up and you see something good about yourself and you be like, yeah, that's me. That is me. And, you know, identifying as introvert or extrovert, you know, some of us have dibbled and dabbled into, you know, those astrology, you know, birth signs, and this is who I am. And like I was saying, we all have done it, but it's not, and it's all, some of it is good and some of it can be not so good and damaging to who we really are if we believe that. But we have to remember what the Bible says, and we have to remember that it is very clear that it says that our Heavenly Father says that we are his sons and his daughters, co-heirs with him. That we are created in his image. And believing who you are, I think that's one of the first pivotal steps, is believing who you are in Christ. Everybody is on a different path, as you know. And I may know you a little bit more personal on a personal level because of our lineage, but we both have different life experiences. And so, where you might have issues with your identity, my identity is, you know, I might have issues with mine on a separate level. And if you, our identity really when we think about it, who we really are is under attack.
Yes.
And a lot, and it comes from the time that you're born until the time that you are now, you know, figuring out who you are and who I am and who I'm supposed to be. But we have to be very careful of that. If we stop believing what God says about us, we'll start to believe the lies that the enemy have put in our head. And I think about the scripture in Matthew, when Jesus was even attacked by the enemy, you know, three times, you know, the enemy was telling him, you know who you say you, that ain't who you are. And Jesus was like, yes, I know who I am. I'm the Son of God. So if Jesus is being attacked identity wise, you better believe that you are going to be attacked and he is coming for you. And that's why I think it's so important that we ransack our Bibles and we dig into the scriptures to replace any of those lies with God's truth. I was thinking the other day that, you know, God is, he celebrates us. Mm-hmm. And because we're his creation, I mean, we're like the best thing that he ever created. So, I mean, why would he not, you know, want the best for us? He gave his son for us. He died. He sent his son to die for us. Jesus, I mean, God is our greatest affirmer. And because we're his greatest idea, I mean, above anything that he's ever created.
Kristen, and forgive me, audience, if you hear the echo, I'm moving around too much, I believe. But when you talk about that greatest affirmation, I think that's what a lot of us are looking for. We're looking for someone to affirm us. And that affirmation, unfortunately, is we're looking for it in the wrong places and from the wrong people. A lot of times from the wrong people. Now, I'm not saying that affirmations aren't needed, because I try to speak into my family a lot, you know, mm-hmm. with telling them things to build up their faith, to build up how they see themselves. But I try not to, you know, say it in a way to them as if I'm not your God, okay? I am, you all have been entrusted to me. It is my obligation to speak into you, to encourage you, to help you move forward with it. And a lot of times I think the things when we're looking for that affirmation, they may be wanting someone to affirm the negative or bad influences they may have around them. They want to keep that going. So they want somebody to say, yeah, what you're doing is okay. You know, you can keep it going. But inside, I think a lot of people, even from the youngest to the oldest, they're looking for that thing where someone can just say, hey, I'm proud of you, or hey, God loves you. I think so many people in our communities are missing that. I don't know. It's hard for me to count, to pinpoint and voice that. But when you spoke about affirmations, I've been real big on trying to keep that at the forefront of something in my life. And because I know I have days where, you know, like you say, those things that are off, and we find ourselves saying the wrong thing.
Right.
And I have to pull it back and just, okay, let me reverse that. Let me not continue to speak the negativity. Let me find something positive to say about this. Because even the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. So it's like, what are we saying to ourselves? You know, what are we saying to other people? You know, are we speaking death over them, in a sense, with the words that we say to them? Are we not encouraging them to the best of our ability with what we're given, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yes, just knowing that even in the midst of all of that, God is the one that affirms us. So that's what I was taking away from that, what you were just stating.
And I would just piggyback on that. You know, I've struggled with over the years with my self-image and how I want to be perceived and my self-worth. I haven't always spoken nicely about myself or to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And just starting from adolescence, you know, I always had skin problems growing up. And, that was like, it was part of, progressing and becoming a woman. But, mine was a little bit, a little out of control. I felt, and I was just like, what is really going on? So that tarnished a little bit of my image about myself. And then, you will never think this, but my nose, Yes. Our nose is like, the family trademark. It is. And, and I would always try to like, back then, contouring wasn't a thing. So you had to, angle at the side and make your face look like this or have your nose look a certain way to, try to not to, not face on pictures, but, try to angle it to where your nose, but I've embraced that about myself. And it took some time, but it was just an awkward stage. But it's just, we go through certain things that we look at ourselves, and then sometimes it's not always somebody else, it's yourself and how you perceive yourself. And then there are times where, you doubt yourself because of what somebody else has said to you, or we just can't let those things, take that for what it is and let the enemy use that, because he will always bring those things to your remembrance, what that person said or how you felt about yourself. So the fight for your identity is a hard thing, but it's worth having. And you just have to believe that God can do that work in you and through you. And it's a part of, once you believe who you are in God, you have a sense of belonging. And like you said, those affirmations, you want to hear the good things about yourself, because we want to belong. We want a sense of belonging, whether with our families or our communities, our church family. You don't want to feel isolated. And that's a work of the enemy too, isolation. And a lot of that is really going on right now with, with this pandemic. It's just really, hitting hard with some people. But we just have to come up with creative ways to stay connected. Just like a Zoom call or a small group or getting together with your family, the safe way. But God is a relational God. He created relationships,
That's kind of hard right now. And I think about us, just overall, just family overall, we're people who like to get together, and that's been kind of hard,
Yes.
Being able to see your family like you're so accustomed to seeing them, and you're trying to find those different ways to see everybody, it's not the same, but you're trying to adapt and adjust accordingly, like you said, while keeping everyone safe and you trying to stay safe. But there's still that yearning, that sense of belonging. And I can only, speaking from our sense of belonging, family is what we knew. Family is what we know. So it's right. Like our belonging and sense of belonging and being together, that is something that kept and keeps us together. To do that during this time, and still trusting God in the process that, it won't always be like this.
It won't always be like this. Yes.
But, it does get difficult, and you do try not to, while we're in the midst of things going on, like you said, that isolation is what's keeping a lot of us in depression or oppression,
Right.
because you feel alone, but you're really not. There are ways that we can maneuver and still have that relation with people. It's a little more difficult now than it had been. So we're just having to readjust and allow God to still come in and not take for granted the way that we're having to see each other right now, or the way we're having to talk to one another right now. Because right now it may not, it's not so much about the quantity or the amount of times we get to see each other. It's the quality.
It's the quality. Absolutely.
You know, when we see one another, that we can, you know, still, in essence, we may not be able to hug and all this, you know, we hug people. It's that touch thing for us.
The things that we took for granted, we are really grateful for them now. Yeah. Really grateful for them. We are supposed to be in connection with each other. And yeah, you know, and when we don't have that connection with our family and friends, we can turn to him for that mm-hmm. connection, and he can, you know, ease all of those frustrations and anxieties that we're having, mm-hmm. especially with this pandemic and not being able to be connected with people. You know, he's just like a blanket, you know, he covers mm-hmm. us and, you know, takes care of us real good, especially in those moments. After you're believing and trusting and knowing who you are, you have that sense of belonging mm-hmm. With God. You know, you know that he's got you. He's not going to let you fall. He's going to protect you. He's going to cover you. And he's going to bring the right people in your path, the people that you need to be around. He's going to bring those people into your existence. I mean, he's just all knowing, all loving, just good like that. So there was a scripture that had came to my mind, and it's been one of my go-to scriptures, especially for this season in my life, Jeremiah 29:11. And he just speaks about, you know, I know the plans that I have for you. It's more comforting and knowing that, you know, the plans that I have for you are going to be good plans. They're not going to be to harm you. And it's, that gives me a sense of belonging, you know, mm-hmm. not rely on that, knowing that, hey, I'm here. It might not be the way that you want it to be, but you know that God is there with you and you belong to him. So he's already taking care of everything for you, and he's going to be there for you. And it hasn't always been easy, girl. You would think, you know, coming up in my background, you know a little bit about my background. You know my past. My dad is a pastor. My mom's a minister. Growing up in the church, faithfully going to the church, it would come easily, like believing and trusting in God. But really, I appreciate everything that they instilled in me as a child, because as I got older and I began to form my own relationship with God, those things that I was taught, you know, back when I was younger, those things come back to my remembrance. And I'm just like, oh yeah, I remember when my mama said that, or I remember when my daddy preached about that and he shared that word with me. And it just makes you, it gives you that comfort and that sense of belonging when you can rely on things that happened mm-hmm. in your past, and then you bring it back forth. And you know, I try to, you know, I am instilling that in my kids, you know, but you know, it's a little different, you know, but the word of God is still the same. You know, the way it is given to you is completely different. What the way you give it's presented to somebody else is different, but the word of God, it stays true and it will never go void. And I was, to continue on in that becoming stage, becoming who God wants you to be is a progression. And you just can't, you know, say that, I've met my mark. I've met my mark with God. You don't ever meet your mark with God. You don't ever meet your mark with God. It's a life journey. You don't ever reach a pinnacle and stop there. Becoming who God wants you to be is a lifetime journey, and growing in the confidence and the wisdom of who he says that we are. Once you ask God to enter your heart and you raise your hand and you accept him, that's when the transformation starts, you know? And it takes time, and it takes humbling yourself, because that's really one of the hardest things to do. One of the hardest things to do is to humble yourself. But then when you start to humble yourself and you see God for who he really is and who he's really trying to, what he's trying to do in your life, you know, those fruits that you start bearing, those fruits, and you become more patient. And like you were saying, like the patience with your kids and having that patience, we all experience as moms, like, you know, losing it a little bit and then having to come back and be like, okay, y'all, mommy had a moment. I'm gonna need you to forgive me. You start bearing those fruits and you start recognizing where you're lacking and where you need to grow. Becoming requires some change. It requires change, and it requires you to stay pliable. You know, you gotta stay pliable when you become who God wants you to be.
That's the truth. That is the truth. Guys, Kristen, I thank you for pouring out your heart to us. I do appreciate your words to us. And again, I try to take notes. I try to just hone in on some of those things that when I do have guests on that say things that kind of resonate with maybe the walk I'm in you know, at the moment. And there's always something that we can take away from it. So I do truly thank you so much for coming on and just sharing a piece of yourself and a piece of your heart as it relates to believing and becoming what God has for you. I do thank you for sharing those words. Audience, I pray that you have taken away something from us during this segment today. And again, that you would continue to push forward and continue to join me on this journey of being made to shine on this network. Kristen, again, thank you so much, dear. Thank you so much for being my special guest today. And audience, until next time, tune in. This episode, I will be sure to let you know when it will air. And just thank you. I'm excited.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a very humbling experience because, you know, we had that conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I talk, you know, how I sound in front of an audience. You know, I'm more comfortable, you know, writing it down and making a little post, but having that, you know, conversation and talking about it. And I had a little bit more to add, you know, I was just getting started. I was just getting more comfortable, you know, with this, you know, setup.
Well, you hear that, audience. I'm going to have her on the air say she'll be back for part two. So I look forward to that. I do look forward to scheduling a part two with you. Again, guys, may 2021 just be a year of extraordinary blessings for each and every one of my listeners.
It will be.
Despite what you see, what is going on, take heart that God is still with us. And if we put our trust in him, it's going to work out in our favor. It's already worked out in our favor. We just continue to hold on and to remember, love, you keep shining, keep shining.
Amen.
And until next time, guys. This is your host, Sonya Nelson, signing out. God bless.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. 850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.